are listening to CJUM on your FM dial, transmitting at 1200
walls.
Right here
in Winnipeg.
You are the music while the music lasts. Beginning transmission.
Hey everyone, it's me, the Album Authority, and I hate to break it to you guys, but these are not live episodes of Album Authorities. This is previously aired episodes. Like all great movements, I need my time to go back, to refresh, to regroup so that we can build this movement stronger. They asked me which episodes do I want. I said I didn't care because all I make is classics, all I make is hits. So enjoy these previous episodes of Album Authority, and I will come back to you guys in September with more fresh, revolutionary, world-changing radio. Hello and welcome to Album Authority. I am your host, the Album Authority, and you might have noticed that extra emphasis on your. And that was intentional because I truly am your Album Authority. I am a man of the people. I am your spokesperson, elected and sustained by your devoted fervor. You might have noticed before the show started, I was playing Sunday Morning by the Velvet Underground. That's because the show before me, Bangin' Whisper, played a cover of Sunday Morning, and I just had to play it. Also, I just had to fill space. So, our following here at Album Authority is growing rapidly, okay? And it's really impressive. I'm starting to be afraid of being mobbed in the hallways, honestly. In fact, I'm hearing rumors that there's this, like, mass grassroots movement here on campus to just start advertising the show. You know, people, I've heard of that. I haven't seen them yet, but I've heard people are just starting to put up posters all around campus, just in the hallways and in the tunnels. I don't know. It's a rumor. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. If it is true, it's really touching to hear. I mean, I have to say thank you to those brave followers of the show, putting those posters up and spreading the good word, you know, shouting out the show. I wonder why they decided to print their posters in black and white. I would assume it would be in color, but I guess ink is expensive, so I guess that's fair. I mean, ink is expensive really here on at the library printers. I think it's like $1 per colored page. Like, hell no, I'm not spending that. I'll spend 10 cents per black and white page. Not that I made those posters. I did not make those posters. That's actually a mass grassroots movement of the people. So who even knows here? I feel like the show is starting to need like a backup host. You know, like a guy who can come and do the show when I'm not there. Or maybe I can just ask ChatGPT to write an episode for me. I just realized I could do that last night after cooking and cleaning for like 3 hours. I realized that and I felt kind of sad I hadn't done that yet. And I won't do that. And I'm kind of sad about it because it would make my life a lot easier. But it's a little sad to say, but ever since I've started the show, I haven't had time for my own creative writing, and this has basically just become my creative outlet. So I can't do something as sacrilegious as use AI, you know? In fact, I barely have any time as is. Like, I'm in four classes right now, and every single one is a writing class, and they're all deciding. It's like they came together in a shadowy room to all make my things due on the same day. It's, like, awful. That's why I missed last week's episode of Album Authority, and it's also why I've skipped class twice this week and just decided to stay home yesterday. Man, skipping class, while it's something I try not to do often, is... And because I'm a nerd and I don't like to skip my classes. I like to learn. But man, skipping class is such a beautiful feeling. It's like the only way in life that you can just make time appear. Like you can just generate time. You can just create it out of thin air. By staying home yesterday, I got so much done because I just basically created 3 extra hours in my day to go to do schoolwork. 3 hours is also the amount of time it took to cook last night. And that's another thing that eats all of my time, okay? I do enjoy cooking, and I love living on my own even more, but I do really miss my mom's cooking. And that's not just because it was way better than mine, but also because I didn't need to make or buy it. Like, I just came home, I was chilling out, I was just hanging out, and then boom, Look at that. Free food. I didn't have to make. I didn't have to pay. It's a beautiful thing. And it was like 10 times better than anything. I will put so much effort into cooking. I'll try something new. Or I won't even. Sometimes I'll just try to perfect a recipe. And I still cannot get even close to my mom's level of cooking. Like, I don't know what she does or how she does it. They're not like complicated recipes. I don't know how it is. But man, it's like, it's upsetting, okay? And all of this is to say, despite how busy I am here. I'm here to talk to you all. I'm here as the people's champion, and I'm ready to talk about a great album. This is an album that takes me back to simpler times, before I had to cook my own dinners, and before I was in all these writing classes. And not because I listened to it before, but because of other music it reminds me of. Today's album is the Manchester pop band Swing Out Sisters' 1997 album, Shapes and Patterns. So first off, I know it's weird that this album is from 1997, and I'm putting it right next to Simply Red's album and other 80s albums. I think the Simply Red album, what was that album from? Isn't that like 1987? Like, I think this is a whole decade. Yeah, this is a whole decade after Simply Red's Men and Women, but it's because this album, it just feels so entrenched in the 80s. It just has this 80s sound, this 80s sheen to it that just feels so lush and shiny, and that as a sound just feels so deeply 80s to me, even though it's far closer to the 2000s than it is to the 80s. Swing Out Sisters' other albums have a similar sound, but this is their best album for sure, and it's where they really master the sound that they kind of had their whole career, this like lush, it's literally called Sophistopop. I hate that name, but it's fitting. It's like this lush, like fancy pop music with like a lot of jazz. You know, they're under the label of, again, Sophistopop. Prefab Sprout, they're a quote-unquote Sophistopop band, but I hate that word. But which is just like lush, like polished pop music with a lot of like jazz and R&B influences. So that not only is this album feel 80s, but it does have some R&B like vibes to it and influences to it that, you know, connects to the Blue White Soul I played 2 weeks ago in Simply Red's Men and Women. You know, it has a feeling of being close to Simply Red. But anyways, here's the album, starting with Somewhere in the World, once again, off of Swing Out Sisters' 1997 album, Shapes and Patterns. Swing Out Sister, for those who don't know and would be somehow confused, is a pop band from Manchester. Everything is from Manchester now, okay? So, yeah. Here is Somewhere in the World. I was on my phone and I did not actively realize I was just playing Otis Redding. So here actually is Swing Out Sister. Hopefully I don't lose too much time on that, but...
Changing too fast when the future.
that was. Somewhere in the world, we could make it happen. Somewhere in the world, shapes and patterns, we can make it happen. And something out of this world. Stoned Soul Picnic. If you haven't tell, I've actually been switching around the songs on this album a lot because I can't. It's really hard to pick which ones I want to play. And it's also, those songs are more than I usually do here on the show. That was like a good, 15 minutes of music. But I just have a really hard time stopping between any songs on this album. Like, usually I'm pretty able to think of songs to group and pair together. But here, this album is so well connected and flows so well into every song that it's just hard to figure out where to divide it. Any way I cut it, I'm missing a flow of the album that I otherwise would be really nice to put down. Even with albums I love, there's always sometimes I can group songs together pretty well, at least like a vibe or a pace of the album. Like, this chunk of the album is the slow part, this chunk of the album is the kind of the big hit in the middle, like something like that. But not this album is so much better than the sum of its parts that it's really hard to figure out what to divide. I think the little interludes add a lot to that, like the title track, Shapes and Patterns, that, spoiler alert, there's a reprise of, that kind of ends, kind of wrapping it all together. It's that wrapping together that makes me love and promote the art form of the album. You know, I have friends and people I know who basically only listen to playlists, and it just hurts me so much. Like, it drives me crazy. I've ranted about this a lot, because after all, this show is a show about albums, and I love the album more than anything. Even though it rarely feels like it's a show about albums, sometimes it's a show about my mom's cooking, but regardless. But this has been in my head a lot recently because of the, playlistification of music and streaming services are kind of slowly kind of making the album less relevant, at least for more mainstream music. Like I was thinking about the new Cardi album. That album is 30 songs long, and it has no form of pacing, song differentiation, structure, or anything. It's just the same type of song 30 times, just repeated and thrown next to each other 30 times, almost with no sense of flow or groove to it. It doesn't feel like Cardi was in the studio or I guess in the production booth, we need to put this song, we need to put Opium Baby here with the 50 billion explosion sound. I actually really like that song. That song is honestly the good version of what a lot of the album is trying to do, just overstimulation music that just makes my brain hurt. I kind of like what it was trying to do there, but it just didn't do it very well. And I have a lot of my thought on the new Cardi album is basically if you play a song off the album to me, on its own isolated, I probably will like that song. It's probably a good song. It's just that when you do that same song 30 times and they're next to each other with no sense of flow, I feel like my brain is just being electrocuted and there's nothing to keep me engaged or pique my interest. It's just noise. It just turns into white noise, a wall of noise. My brain just gets numb. And I keep seeing this for albums, at least for big mainstream, kind of mainstream rap artists a lot of the time. Some of them, not all of them. I feel like the format of the album is less cared about. It's only really cared about the songs anymore. We just got to make the song good. We got to have the 20-second part for TikTok. And then I don't care if the song flows into the next one well and if it works for the pacing of an album. And that sucks to me. I feel like, at least in the past for mainstream pop music, for example, it was one song in the album was a bang hit and then everything was else just kind of meh. But now it just feels like every song on the album is trying to be a hit, and an album is not good when it's only singles. It just doesn't work. You need album tracks. And I honestly prefer albums where no song stands out, where there's really no one single, because it works together so well. You can listen to it more and more and realize how good the individual songs are. I was saying this earlier, this album reminds me of simpler times because of that aforementioned 80s feeling to it. But what it really reminds me of is Japanese city pop. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but for those who don't, it's this super lush Western inspired Japanese pop music from the 80s. And this album just somehow feels close to it because of how lush and how like 80s it is and shiny. I don't really know how to explain it, but like, it just, I don't know, it has this sleek feeling to it. You know, and it, this reminds me of simpler times because I used to listen to it during COVID, like 2020 to 2021. I remember just biking, walking around all the time, listening to City Pop. Life was great. Honestly, it was peak. My favorite part about looking back on simpler times, as I call them, is I was just like less happy in them. I was more miserable than I am now for like no reason to be miserable. But my nostalgia brain just remembers it as perfect, simple times because of simple pop music. If I had to recommend a Japanese city pop album, I'd probably recommend Henri's 1983 album Timely, which I think has two exclamation marks. Japanese city pop, really good. And for some reason, this album just reminds me of that. Anyways, here is more of the album with You Already Know and Always. Once again, off of Swing Out Sisters' 1997 album Shapes and Patterns.
I can feel you.
That was, you already know, and always, two of my favorite songs off of this album. I'd say my three favorites are probably Stoned Soul Picnic, You Already Know, and Always, so three of the last ones I just played. I didn't really talk about Stoned Soul Picnic, but that song is so good. I really like the harmonies on it, the male vocals at the end, and I always get part of the chorus, you know, the red, yellow, honey, sassafras, and moonshine stuck in my head just like all day. It just gives this like this feeling of like a field in like May, you know? You Already Know is a fantastic song, and honestly, this what I'm about to say kind of goes for Always too. They both just feel like songs that, you know, always existed. No pun intended. Like it's always been there. It's kind of, instead of like a song the artist made, it's just like a melody the artist just discovered. It's a similar feeling to There She Goes by The Laws. You know, there she goes again. That one. It's always, like, it just feels like a song that's always been there. Like, it's so intuitively good. It's so just, the melody hits you and it's perfect. And you don't, like, I don't, like, a lot of songs and albums I love feel very much like the band. Like, I love the Smiths. We're on about this. But I feel like the Smiths are making these songs, you know. It doesn't feel like they just, like, discovered a melody and made it. But a lot of songs and some of my favorite pop songs just feel so effortlessly good. You Already Know, always, just, to me, it always sounds like, part of it always sounds like a tiny bit like Life on Mars by David Bowie. Just kind of like, not in like the mood and tone of the album, but just like the vocal flow. Let me see if I'm crazy here. That part weirdly sounds like Life on Mars by David Bowie. Like, for those who have not, do not know that song, let me see if it'll... There we go. It just feels weirdly close. I don't, you know, not in the whole song, but just in that, like, the melody. I don't know how to explain it. It's that, you know... Always is just a beautiful song. It really makes me feel like I gotta go on a walk. Honestly, this whole album is just perfect for this time of year. It has this like springtime feeling to it that's really hard to explain. It's that, or I'm just coming out of my seasonal depression, so everything sounds happier and better to me. Honestly, when it comes to seasonal depression, I think we need to appreciate daylight savings time more. Like, way more. Honestly, way more than the weather. I think the thing holding up my mood the most is just that it gets dark at 8 p.m. now instead of, like, 6 or 7. You know, I get off work at 8, and it used to be pitch black for, like, most of my shift. And now, at 7 p.m., the sun is still out. And at 8 p.m., it's not pitch black. It's, like, getting dark. And I feel like you know, the sun is still out there a little bit. I feel like I have double the energy now. Like, I genuinely feel like every day my clock is like 3 hours behind, not in a bad way where I feel lost. Like I have the energy of 3 hours earlier in the day. You know, people are just such babies when it comes to daylight savings time. I'm sorry, but the same people who complain about daylight savings time, oh, I messed up my sleep. You know, it's like you lost 1 hour of sleep. And those people are almost always the same people who stay up till 3 a.m. every day and get like 5 hours of sleep. Like, honestly, bro, I think the issue isn't daylight savings time. It literally saves us daylight, okay? It's in the name. And I like that it's bright in the mornings in winter, because otherwise it just feels dark the whole day. In the morning, that's when you're going to be out. You know, I'm not out at like, okay, so it's dark, you know, it's... Otherwise, it's just dark at 4 p.m. instead of, like, 5, okay? Like, it just pushes things, or 5 instead of 6. I don't know how this works. But it saves you time, okay? The daylight matters more in the morning and the winter, so you get it in the winter. And then in the spring, you get it in the evenings because you're out in the evenings. It's beautiful. If you're messed up by that, if your sleep is messed up, your sleep is already messed up, okay? Daylight savings, it's a perfect system. It adjusts with the seasons, and people still find a way to complain. You honestly just can't make everybody happy. The only thing that unites everybody in agreement in this world is the love of Album Authority. It's me. It's the people's champion. And that's a hard role for me to carry on my shoulders, especially in such political, polarized times. But somebody has to do it. And with that, I'll get back into the Swing Out Sister album with Icy Cold as Winter.
Oh,
That was Icy Cold as Winter and Shapes and Patterns Reprieve, finishing off Swing Out Sisters' 1997 album, Shapes and Patterns. I like Icy Cold as Winter. It's a good last full song for the album. It really just ends it on a nice way. It ends on a good note. You know, the song's slower. It's kind of like more experimental. It's a bit weirder. It's a fine ending. You know, it's like the climax, not the climax of a movie, the wrap up of a movie. And then it gets wrapped in the bow of a credit scene with the Shapes and Patterns reprise. I didn't know about this band until I'd recently fallen in love with this album. My notes here are very confusing. I think some of the beauty of this show, at least in making it, is how it really allows for me to really focus on and really get into an album for like a week or so, like really focus on an album and really appreciate it. And sometimes that's returning to something I already loved or finding love in something new, like this album. You know, I knew I wanted to cover it. One of the guys here at the station put me onto them, and I needed more diverse music for my Manchester season, so it's just not all like alt-rock and post-punk. And I liked the album, but I didn't realize just how good it was until recently when I was listening to it to think about it more for the episode. And that's about half the reason I do this show. You know, besides the acclamation, the love and the adoration by the masses and my fans, it really helps me revisit and give time to albums. I listen to a lot of music, usually at least 4 hours a day, like minimum, and usually one new album every day. Or like sometimes I listen to new albums twice every time, so that's like sometimes it's the same album yesterday, but it's new. So I listen a lot of music. And I've listened to so many albums for so long now that it's really impossible for me to revisit everything all the time and really appreciate everything. And sometimes albums just don't come to you at the perfect time in your life. You know, they don't, you know, you don't get to appreciate them as much as you otherwise would. So I have friends who are actually shocked when, like, just not shocked, but a little bit surprised when they learn I don't get paid to do this. Like, I have people ask me, like, how much does the radio pay you? And I'm like, nothing. And first of all, this is not paid quality. I'll say that. If this was paid, I'd be working a lot harder on it. But they always seem confused at why I do it then. And yeah, I do love the sound of my own voice, if that wasn't obvious. But a big part of the incentive to do this show is that it gives me time to really slow down, to really listen to music with more intention and as art and not just as like brain-numbing content, so I don't have to think, or I guess kind of helps me focus my thoughts. So it really helps me just focus on an album and really appreciate it for what it is. And it's also helpful to vent out my nostalgia every episode with a wacky and zany anecdote. Anyways, that was the 54th episode of Album Authority. Today's Canadian song of the week is Joni Mitchell's The Last Time I Saw Richard, off of her 1971 album Blue. And shout out to my friend Saya for recommending me Joni Mitchell. A big thing that I love about music is personalized recommendations. It makes things so beautiful, and it gives like kind of a intention and purpose to everything you listen to. Here is The Last Time I Saw Richard by Joni Mitchell. Have a good week. Oh, I'm still talking.
Last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68, and he told me all romantics meet the same fate someday. Cynical and drunk and boring someone in some dark cafe. You laugh, he said. You think you're immune. Go look at your eyes, they're full of put a quarter in the Wurlitzer. And he pushed three buttons and the thing began to whir. And a barmaid came by in fishnet stockings and a bow tie. And she said, drink up now, it's getting on time to close. Richard, you haven't really changed, I said. It's just that now you're romanticizing some pain that's in your head. You got tombs in your eyes, but the songs you punched are dreaming. Listen, they sing love so sweet, love so sweet. When you gonna get yourself back on your feet? Oh, love can be so sweet, love so sweet.
Hello, I'm Robert Slade, Winnipeg actor and moron. And you are listening to CJUMFM 101.5, supporting the arts in Winnipeg and giving you a real good listen.